Andrew.
Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. We'd like to recognize any first-time visitors with us this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors? Section to my left, do we have any? Center section? We welcome everyone.
Could we, some people, the Benizas have had a terrible winter, spring, and first part of the summer. Well, actually, summer is not here until next week, I guess. But first part of June. And we're just glad that maybe you got a little relief today. Sickness, his mother, her aunt, his brother. I mean, just so our thoughts have been with you. Also, Jessica. Where's Jessica? Jessica has a fracture. You okay? Okay. And so, just wanted to think about them out loud.
If I could get someone to help us by passing out the attendance books.
And Ryan is here, too. From Colorado? Arizona. Yeah, somewhere out west.
Where are the books?
Just look. Maybe the closet.
There was a wedding here last night, so everything's kind of misplaced this morning, so.
Maybe in the closet.
We'll move along while we're looking for the books. Do we have any announcements this morning from the congregation?
Kelly, you want to go ahead and do the biggie?
Thank you.
Leanne's going to read the scripture this morning, so we'll recognize her then. And there's two pages of scripture. You going to read them all, Leanne? Sure, okay. And then us let recognize other helpers, because they may not be here for the other service. Young man here, Mr. Andrew. Stand up. He's going to tell us all the lessons in 5 words. He said he only did recreation. Would you stand up, Andrew? And then Jessica's on the back, and then right there between Jessica and Andrew is Casey. And anybody else in this section? None of them? Okay, and over here, Leanne. We will acknowledge Leanne too. Okay, Karen, work in the kitchen. Okay, Karen. There she is. Okay. And then, Angie. Angelina, I think her real name. Is that right? Set up Big Dolly's. Okay. And they're working for the children and for the Lord. Thank you all.
Karen. Thank you. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation?
Bohannon's service was yesterday, and the church in their neighborhood and the church, I thought, was well represented.
If you'll take time to look at the announcements printed in your bulletin and see the activities that are ongoing.
Drug sales, 2 weeks with the grace team for our mission trip to Colombia. It's already being a success, even though we hadn't started the sale yet. So we've already got some donations, but if you have items that you'd like to donate to the garage yard sale, just let me or Kelly or Tracy know, and we'll get by and pick it up. We've got several people already asked to pick some stuff up, but looking for a big success, we need to raise about $3,000, and there could possibly be five of us going from this church. That would be a great help on the expenses. Thank you.
The float. The parade's next Saturday. The float, we need to be in front of the post office or thereabout at 10:30. Mr. Jack's going to provide the trailer and the tractor.
Okay. Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests from the congregation? Pam? Okay. Anyone else?
We got word last night about 7 o'clock that Pam Baker's grandmother, they didn't expect her to live through the night. You know, she's been at the point of death for a week, but they called all the family in last night. So Jim's not here, and I'll assume that they're with her out of Kendry Manor.
Okay.
That's his fellow Ryan.
Any others? If you'd like to add a name to the list, you can write it on one of the index cards in the pew in front of you and drop it in the offering plate.
This is kind of a praise report. I talked to a friend of mine in California that's on our Tuesday morning prayer list, and he has cancer, but his treatments are just going extremely well, and he wanted to let everybody know that the church was praying for him.
Any others? At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you pause for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Let's all stand here and turn in our hymnals this morning to hymn 357, Jesus Loves Even Me.
So glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I cleave, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Will you bow your heads as we pray? From the negative side, what if Jesus didn't love us? He wouldn't have died for us. What if God didn't love us? He would just cast us into outer darkness, allowed us to continue in a life of sin and rebellion. But He loves us. Jesus loves us. He came to redeem us. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love to us. Jesus, precious Son, Savior, we thank You that You came to show that love of God and to pay for all the sin in our life, that we might be cleansed through our faith in You, our trust, our dependence upon. We can be restored to fellowship with our Creator. Thank You. Thank You for this time that we can come and rejoice in Your love to us. Through Christ, Christ Jesus, we pray, praying His prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
I guess this next song is one of the first that we ever learned as children. If we were fortunate enough to have someone see that we were in Sunday school. So let's just sing it like the children of God that we are.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He will stay close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday His face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
We express our faith through the Apostles' Creed. It's in the back of your hymnal, number 716, and also behind me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Turn your hymnal down, please, to hymn 580. Jesus loves the little children. I wasn't listening real closely when Larry was introducing everyone, but whenever I go on a mission trip, I always tell everybody when I introduce myself, we got the prettiest grandchildren in the world. I always get a lot of argument about that, but my grandchildren are here in the flesh this morning, and I'll let you be the judges. I might be a little prejudiced, I don't know. But I love them, and Jesus loves us all as children. Let's sing this through twice.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
We express our thanks to God through our tithes and offerings and gifts. Our offertory sentence today is from Galatians 6, 9 and 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all and especially for those of the family of faith. Will the ushers please come forward? Could I have a couple of volunteers, please?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day and all the wonderful blessings You've given us. Blessings, rain and sunshine and flowers, clean air and water to drink. Oh Lord, that You can go on. Thank You so much for all this blessing. Thank You that we're able to come here and worship You, that we're able to return a portion of what You've given us to You to use to rekindle Your life. Bless these gifts and give them both flowers to be used here in this community and around the world. Christ be with you. Thank you.
Now Leanne will read the scripture for us.
The scripture lesson today is from Judges chapter 7, 19 through 22. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the outer edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands and shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran. When the 300 Israelites blew their horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away as Beth-shittah near Zerah and to the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabith. And from Daniel chapter 6, 13 through 17. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is paying no attention to you or your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was very angry with himself for signing the law, and he tried to find a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, "Your Majesty knows that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed." So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you worship continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king filled the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel from the lions. From Daniel chapter 3, 23-28. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell down into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisers, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes," they said, "we did indeed, your majesty." "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men, unbound, walking around in the fire. They aren't even hurt by the flames, and the fourth looks like a divine being." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the princes, prefects, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god." From John 20, 11-18. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. And from Acts 16, 25-34. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Don't do it, we are all here." Trembling with fear, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with your entire household." Then they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. That same hour the jailer washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Then he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Leanne.
With two services, we didn't want to ask the children to come and do something and then repeat it. We didn't know, especially those outside the church that were visitors all week, but became a part of the congregation for the week, didn't know their response to that request. And I think we did last year, we kind of recapped Vacation Bible School for the 8 o'clock service. So that's what we chose to do today, and I hope that you don't feel cheated or put out. If you do, just come to 10:15 and it'll be taken care of. Five passages, though. Five passages in 5 days. And five rather extensive passages. And that's a monumental task for any group, especially when it's ages 4 through 11. I guess that was basically the age, ages 4 through 11. And they tried to implant in their mind something about these five stories. And they did it in so many, many ways. You just don't sit down and read the lesson to them. That's what we've learned. You just don't do that. The five lessons were, and if you take your scripture sheet, you can put the first one from Judges is knowing God. Knowing God. The second one from Daniel 6 is talking to God. Or their message that day was, it's important to talk to God. The Daniel chapter 3 passage is talking about God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Those words just kind of roll out, don't they? And then John 20, Mary's experience at the tomb, the empty tomb, loving God. And then Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul's experience in Philippi, working for God. So those were the five themes. And as I say again, that was a monumental task for any group, a group of adults, but especially a group of children. First, they talked about Gideon. And I would like to have you to think about Gideon. How many of you remember Gideon? I'm talking about the adults now, but the young people and the children can participate. How many of you remember who Gideon was? Or what do you remember about Gideon? Do you remember anything about Gideon? Do you remember anything from the Bible about lapping up like a dog? How to drink water out of a flowing stream. Sorry. Choosing the army. And he had started out with a bunch, and he ended up with 300, and actually they didn't have to fight, did they? They just, the enemy scattered. Okay, Judges is an interesting book, and that's where you find that. There, I think there are about 12 judges, but the religious commitment of the people in the book of Judges is kind of like it is today. They would be real religious, the high point. And then they would be real unreligious or sinful. Then they'd be real religious. And it kind of went on a 40-year plane. Every 40 years they'd get real religious. The next, by the end of that 40 years, they'd be pretty base, unreligious, far from God. And they would come back. And that's in general terms, and you might study that and you find 30 years, but generally as you read it, then we don't have details of the dates. It's all about, circa about. But Gideon, he wanted to be sure, back in chapter 6, he wanted to be sure that he had a message from God. So what did he do? He put out a fleece and asked God to, and I always get it confused, ask God to make it wet or dry. And just a, I guess, a piece of sheepskin. That's back in chapter 6 in verse 36. So let's get it straight in my mind at least. Then Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me, or if you want me to do this, Lord, if you want me to be your servant, as thou hast spoken, he had heard him say it, or he was pretty sure he did, but he wanted to be sure, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I know that thou wilt deliver Israel. So he talked to God, and he put the fleece out that night. Evidently, God indicated that that was what he was could do, and put the fleece out that night, and it was damp with dew, and all the ground around it was not. And it was so, when he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let thine anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. He still wasn't sure. Maybe somebody was pulling a trick on him, maybe he thought. You can look at Gideon. Gideon, can't you believe God when he speaks to you? But the other way to look is this. Gideon wanted to be sure. He wanted to know. He was going out to battle. He was taking people with him. He wanted to know that it was God's will for him to go. So he said, God, please don't be mad at me for asking this, but just so I can be sure. Just so I can be sure. Please let me make a test once more with the same fleece. Let it now be dry. Leave it out all night. Let it be dry. But be and let there be dew on all of the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry, only on the fleece, and the dew was all, or was on all of the ground. So, hearing from God, that was not the lesson, the passages they studied, but it leads up to it. Supportive material. He knew that it was God. As much as anybody could know it, I believe. And so then in chapter 7, 11, 15, this dream came, and verse 15, hearing the dream, says he worshipped God. All he would do was worship God. Verse 15. And that's still leading up to this. And then you have the passage here where they won the battle. Just it just worked. Broke jars. And it looked like a big army coming. And God used this to disperse the enemy. Quickly, look at Daniel. Daniel, what do we know about him? First six chapters is what interests me. The last six chapters of the book of Daniel, kind of confusing. They're about like Revelation, and they're connected somehow with Revelation. And after 40 years of trying to put it together, I haven't got it all put together yet, but still working on it. But Daniel, back in the sixth chapter, nothing was going to keep Daniel from praying. No law was going to keep Daniel from praying. No edict from the king. Didn't care. Daniel was going to be true to God. He was going to communicate with God. We've talked much in our generation about prayer being removed from school. And let me declare to you that prayer hasn't been removed from school. As long as there are boys and tests, there will be prayer in school. Or there can be. I prayed, Lord, let the world come to an end so I won't fail this test. I prayed that one. You know, and I've failed to study the night before thinking, well, the world might come to the end. And I wouldn't need it, so I wouldn't study hard. But as soon as I got in the classroom and and I would pray. And then sometimes the Lord would say, Larry, you should have studied. You should have studied. And I'm not giving you the answers because you hadn't read the material. You wouldn't know what I was talking about if I gave them to you. So, but there was a lot of prayers going on. And we laugh about that, but we can still pray. We may not can have a public prayer as we once did, but we can still have prayer. Daniel went ahead and prayed. Students, it's okay to pray at school, but it's also okay to pray at home. And parents, it's good to teach your children prayer at home and to pray with them. And anywhere else you are, even in church, it's okay to pray. You know? Even in church, it's okay to pray. Then we have in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were not the real names of these folks, but they were names given to them when they were in Babylon. And we just have such a great word about them. And I'm going to read from the book. We said Recap Bible School. They let me have a book at the end of the week. There's only one true God. That's what these boys learned. They learned that God is faithful. And the king learned that God is faithful too. God sent Jesus, that fourth man in the furnace, a messenger of God, if not Jesus. It didn't really identify him. But some people think that that was Jesus coming in the Spirit to walk with them. So there is only one true God. God, this true God, is a faithful God. God will help us make good choices. And when we make the right choices, even if we get thrown in the fiery furnace, He will be there with us. God loves us, even when we do wrong. And God can help us tell others about Him. And then, through the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the witness of Daniel, old mean King Nebuchadnezzar, I almost said Ebenezer, that was in another story, wasn't it? Nebuchadnezzar, I think they were kin, Ebenezer and Nebuchadnezzar. But they learned that they could honor God because He was a true God. Mary, move to Mary. Well, it's hard to do three lessons in, or five lessons in 20 minutes, right? Think of those four-year-olds trying to do five lessons in 5 days, you know, one a day. Mary, though, let's jump to Mary. Mary's action showed how much she loved Jesus. He was dead. She had heard about the resurrection, but it didn't register. They couldn't believe it. She went with tears, grieving over her friend. She went looking. She went looking for a dead body. Even Mary had not comprehended. Verse 16b, the last part of 16, her words, "If you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him. Even if he's dead, I still want to be close to him. I want to pay my respects. I want to anoint his body. I want one last visit with him. One last look, if you will. Where have you put him? Don't do me this way," in essence, she was saying to the gardener. "And I will go and get him." And then it was Jesus there. She talked to him. He talked to her. King James translates that, don't cling to me, as don't touch me. Couldn't figure that one out till some Bible scholar translated it, don't cling to me. Jesus is not to be clung to and held close to ourselves and keep everybody else away. Jesus is to be shared. Tell the world about it. And it had to start, in this case, with those disciples. Go and tell those disciples. And she showed her love not only by weeping over him and not only by looking for his body and desiring to go and be with him. She showed her love by obeying what he says, doing what he said. And he said, "There the risen Jesus said, go tell the disciples." And she went and told the disciples. The first one of record to tell the story that Jesus is alive. The first one, Mary. She was sharing the good news. Jesus has overcome death. Jesus has paid the penalty for all of our sins. Jesus is alive. He is risen. And part of her showing her love was that obedience. Jesus had said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. Rather than just try to cling to me and hold me close, which is part of showing love. And it's a good thing to do. But don't just hold him and not give him away. That's the message I'm convinced for us today, for those children this week. And then the Apostle Paul. Work for God. Nobody worked harder that we have on record for the kingdom of God than the Apostle Paul. He traveled. He wrote. He traveled. He wrote. He went to jail. He got run out of town. He'd go to another town. He'd go hungry. He'd have plenty of food. He'd even work at another job where he could live in a place that wouldn't support him, and he'd support himself and stay there and share the gospel. He'd get shipwrecked. He'd have to deal with snakes. He worked and he worked. And he wrote and he wrote and he wrote. And we read some of his writings, we say, huh? Because they're so deep. And he wasn't a very good-looking man. He claimed himself. He wasn't a very good speaker. He claimed himself. His own testimony. But he kept on working. And God used Paul mightily to spread the message of Jesus. That Jesus is the Savior, the promised one from the Old Testament. Trust in Him for eternal life. Follow Him. Let Him live through you. I want to mention Ms. Bohannon's memorial service yesterday and relate it to this. Many words were spoken about Ms. Sally Bohannon. Oh, they were precious words, and the speakers would cry and the audience would cry, or the congregation. A beautiful memorial service. Couldn't believe that son at the end, how well he presented his mother. Many words about her. Many of the words about how she was now in heaven. Many words about how she worked for the kingdom of God. And I can only paraphrase Dr. Finto's message. He reminded us, though, that Sally Bohannon wasn't in heaven because of all of the hard work that she did for the kingdom of God. In other words, Sally Bohannon did not earn her way into heaven. Sally Bohannon was saved and was assured of her place in heaven because of her faith in Jesus. Because of her faith in Jesus. And then when she put that faith in Jesus, she went to work for Jesus. And she worked and worked and worked right along with George. And they worked for the kingdom of God, but not so they could get into heaven, but because she already was assured a place in heaven. She was already saved. She was working so hard for the kingdom to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. And also to bring other people. She wanted to bring other people into the kingdom. They worked to send packed literature, to send it throughout the country. This one project that they were involved in. So we work for God, not to get saved. We can't work hard enough. We just can't do it. We can't be good enough. So we have to be perfect. And we can't be perfect. But we can trust Jesus. And then we can work and work and work to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul wasn't working to earn his salvation. Paul was working to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Let's sing 4:6-2. The first verse. The first verse of 4:6-2. Stand together, if you will. If your response is a public one this morning, don't hesitate to make it. Don't wait till another day.